You say you got some posh lights put in at home?
We have, yeah, in the kitchen.
Nice, like our studio lights.
It's a bit like a 1980s cocktail bar. You're too young, I think, to remember them.
No, I remember them.
Do
80s
you?
Child, yes.
Yeah. So when you go out for a cocktail feeling all cool when you're a youngster, it's a bit like that, my kitchen at the moment.
Look at
and it flashes, different colours, all the neons.
Have you got like an app on your phone that changes it and all that?
No, you just change it. So St. Patrick's Night, we had them all green, which is lovely. When we're feeling a bit of love, we have them red or pink. When we're feeling a bit miserable, they go a bit bluey.
We got a nice red light that comes on whenever I put this from there to there. Yeah, the mic going up. And Pauline just said, "Oh, wow, your lights, your studio lights, just like the ones in my house." And I thought, wow. As Darren on the MK Breakfast Show would say, someone's doing very well. That's his catchphrase.
Do you think so?
Yeah, sounds like it, Paulie.
Well, no, it's just a few lights. It's probably the cheapest bit in the kitchen, actually.
Is it?
Yeah. It's a bit tacky, really.
Nonsense. The beat of MK. MKFM, that lovely voice you're hearing in the background, that is Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors. Every now and again, we like a bit of a catch-up. We talk about family law and what we thought we'd do, because obviously we're not that far now from the big event of the year. We thought we'd talk about Harry and Meghan. So, I mean, this is something that people won't have thought about, actually, Pauline. I think it's the perfect time to bring you into the fray and sort of give us an idea here of the kind of more legal aspect of the... Because everyone's like, oh, my God, Princess Meghan, she's going to be gorgeous. And Harry, and that handsome man now tying the knot. But it's not that simple, is it?
They're all loved up, aren't they?
They
which
are.
Is good, and which is how everyone should be when you're just about to get married. But remember, we've talked before about the legal consequences of getting married, which is you're signing a contract. So you're committing yourself to each other contractually, and it means that you can only get out of that contract if you divorce.
Mm.
And unfortunately, if you get divorced, it means that potentially one of you could ask the court to look at all of your finances. And whilst it's not really what everyone wants to think about or talk about, and it's a difficult subject to bring up, isn't it? That, well, what happens if we break up? Because you're just about to get married. But it's quite a serious issue, actually. And increasingly, more and more people are thinking about, well, what would happen if we break up? Particularly like Harry and Meghan. They've got quite a lot of money.
Between them, both sides, absolutely.
And one of them has probably got a lot more than the other. I mean, Harry, I would have thought, in his own right, is loaded.
Yeah, apparently so.
Much of it may be tied up, and there's all sorts of,
well,
you know, all
sorts
of issues.
It's but, his dad.
Yeah,
yeah.
But she's got, and he's got a huge inheritance to come as well.
Mm.
But she's got money in her own right as well. So there are. I have no doubt they've got lawyers looking at a prenuptial agreement.
Right. Okay.
I have no doubt that's all going on or has gone on in the background. But it's not just for the very wealthy. You know, there are lots of people who are getting married, and you've got something you might want to protect, or you might want to think about, you know, particularly people who are second timers who are getting married for the second time. They may have children, so they want to look after money for their children in the event that this marriage breaks down. So it's a difficult subject to bring up.
Do you think she will have had, because obviously Meghan is, she has LA money anyway, because she comes from an acting background, and she's got millions from making suits. Do you think, logically, she will have sort of approached it from a point, because obviously she's had to give that up to become a princess full time. Do you think she will have had people looking at that going, well, in the event that we break up, we need some sort of financial compensation that if she's lost out on earnings, she can catch up where she left off, sort of thing?
Yeah, I mean, that's her big loss, isn't it? She's giving up a very lucrative career and an income stream. You know, good for her. She's going to be doing all this charity work. They're also obviously going to have children, so that will have an impact on what she can and can't do in the future work-wise. But she's giving up her career.
Absolutely, yeah.
For him, great. It's lovely, but what if it doesn't work out? And if they do get divorced or separate? So I'm sure that they're thinking about, or at least being advised to think about, what do you want to happen? because that's what this is all about. It's while you're getting on and talking and everyone's reasonable and thinking about the other person, not yeah. just themselves, you decide, you think about what would we actually like to happen if we separate or divorce? And if you give some proper thought to that, actually most people in those circumstances could probably make a decision as to what they would want to happen. The issue then for the lawyers is, well, is that fair? Mm. And is that something that could be enforceable at some later stage?
I mean, a good thing for Harry is, of course, he won't be going into this blind. He will have seen what happened with his father. And that will be,
his
I'm
mother,
sure,
yes.
yeah. And that, I'm sure that will be in his mind at some point. So I'm sure he's going to, of all of them, he's going to be the one that's going to approach this with the most logic, I would have thought, right?
Yeah, he seems pretty switched on, doesn't he? Quite sensitive, lad.
Yeah.
So I suspect he'll also be thinking of her. And as I said, when you're going into a relationship, you're much more thinking of the other person,
right?
And I suspect because of the type of guy he is aware that she's giving up her career. She's moving. She's not just giving up her career, but she's moving to another country. So there's all that other stuff that she's yeah. giving up, the relationships with people, the closeness with other people in America.
The lifestyle. Sure.
But in exchange for a different lifestyle and all the lovely trappings that go with that.
Well, some of it not so loving if you've watched Crown on Netflix, but I'm sure she's got all that to come. At least she can play herself, I suppose, in the future on Netflix. But there we go. We're going to take some questions from you as well. If you want to give us a text, 81400, start your text, MKFM. We're going to talk about prenuptial agreements. Is it prenuptial, prenuptial? I'm not sure.
Prenuptial.
That's the way of saying it in the
it's
UK.
Nuptials.
So there we go. So we're just going to take a short break. We've got Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors in with us again for our regular chat catch up today. There you go, that's got us remembering our late 90s, early 2000s in the clubs. Isn't it, Pauline, eh? Yeah, down in Brighton.
You and me.
Yeah. Neck and back a sex on a beach.
Gosh, those were the days.
Group jet. Spiller. Sophie Ellis-Bexter is the bit of MK, MKFM. Pauline Purcell from Purcell Solicitors is in talking about prenups because obviously this has been a sort of a big buzzword recently. As maybe 3 or 4 years ago, we didn't really talk about prenups. It's kind of a Hollywood thing, wasn't it? It's something Tom Cruise used to do, but it's now it's affecting everybody, isn't it?
Yeah, well, in America, my understanding is there's law in different states, but in some states, if you sign a prenuptial agreement, it's binding. So no matter what you put, because some of the Americans are mad. They put all sorts of crazy things, don't they? But it's enforceable. Here,
I didn't say that.
Here we're very English.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
we do things properly.
Yeah.
So you can't just put anything that you want in a prenuptial agreement because it's only as good as it's enforceable. And, and the courts in the UK, in England and Wales, have very specific rules about how you can enforce a prenuptial agreement. So we talked earlier about Meghan and Harry, about them thinking about these issues, about what they want, what their intention is. Well, you have to set out what your intention is, in particularly in relation to financial matters, if you separate. And if the agreement is done fairly, so in a way whereby you're both in agreement to it, so, you know, we don't want a gun held to someone's head metaphorically,
yeah.
you know, it's called duress. So if you openly and freely agree to it, if you both disclose what your financial positions are, so what you can't do is hide that you've got something.
Right.
And then it comes out later, oh, yes, I didn't tell you about the mansion in Surrey, did I?
Oops.
So you've got to be full and frank and disclose your financial position. As long as the terms of the agreement are reasonably fair and they take account of your respective needs and any children that you have, then you've got a good chance of getting the courts later to say, actually, yes, we agree that that has been thought out properly. You've done it according to our laws. You've both had legal advice. You've disclosed your financial positions.
Right.
It seems fair.
Yeah. You've got to show you've done your homework.
Absolutely. But the courts could say, even if you've thought about it and done it properly, they could say, actually, that's not fair. And remember, life throws up all sorts of things that happen to us as the years go by, and something may happen. So even if you agree something today, doesn't necessarily mean that that's fair in 5 or 10 years' time. You know, one of you may become disabled, or you may have other responsibilities, looking after children or elderly parents these days. So, you know, it depends on the circumstances at the time of coming out of the relationship. But if you've thought about it and done it properly, then that agreement will carry a lot of weight.
So it's well worth thinking it through quite you know, well, thoroughly before you commit it to paper. We've had Sharon Stratton a case with, she's heard my Pauline's on the radio, better get in touch. 81400, start your text, MKFM. This one from Sharon, she says, my partner and I have been living together for 3 years. We own a property together and we're due to get married in the summer. I have got an inheritance from my late grandmother, which is kept in savings in my name. Should I have a prenup?
I mean, potentially it's an asset that she's bringing into the marriage, and it's an inheritance. So it's something that hasn't come from her, but from her family. So I can understand why she's a bit concerned that she may want to protect it. Certainly having a prenuptial agreement means you've got a better chance of keeping it at the end of the marriage if you divorce. Because if you don't have a prenuptial agreement, then the, you know, that the inheritance will be one of the assets to be divided between you.
Right, of course, yeah.
I mean, you might be able to argue, well, actually, it was mine before the marriage, but it's all quite grey and you're arguing about it. Whereas if you've thought about it, you agree it, that's your intention, you do it properly, you have an agreement drawn up, you both get legal advice, then you've got a very good chance of keeping particularly something like an inheritance free from, you know, your spouse making a claim against it in the future.
But it's worth looking at, well, whatever the case,
definitely
it's worth looking now,
into.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Rather than leaving it and worrying about it later on.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Sharon, you should go and definitely look into that now. We've got another text here, anonymous. We're second timers, both having been married before. We both own our own property, having savings, and each have children from our first marriage. We're getting married. Should we make a prenup? I mean, I know where this is going to go already.
Yeah, right? I mean, this is really common. And in fact, this is probably where a lot of people really do have prenuptial agreements. You know, if you've been through one divorce, you know what may happen.
Right.
And I think it's quite different. If you're getting married for the first time, particularly if you're younger, what you build up during the marriage is your joint asset. So most people are quite happy sharing that.
Yeah.
But actually, if you're bringing quite substantial assets, particularly into a second marriage, A, you might want to protect that. And secondly, you've probably got children from that marriage that you want to make sure that you can provide for.
Of course. Yeah.
So it's really common for people who are, you know, who are bringing assets and savings and investments into a second marriage to have a prenuptial agreement. So definitely you should be talking about it and thinking about what you want to happen.
Should we squeeze in one more final text here? This says, my parents intend to give my partner and I the deposit for our first married home together. That's really generous of them. Bless them. Should we have a prenup?
Well, actually, it's happening a lot, isn't it, at the moment, that lots of youngsters can't get on the housing market. The only way they can is by parents giving them a deposit.
Royal Bank of Mum and Dad, absolutely.
Royal Bank of Mum and Dad, exactly. And again, if people don't think about it and decide what's the intention about this money that one of our parents is giving us, is it a gift or is it a loan? If it's a gift, is it to both of us or is it a gift to one of us? So if it's a gift to one of us, you definitely may well want to protect it or try to protect it by reaching an agreement in a prenuptial agreement.
Of course.
But if it's a gift to both of you, then it's a gift to both of you and it becomes an asset of the marriage. But if it's one of your parents giving the deposit, A, the parents may want to protect it, but they can do that from a solicitor conveyancing perspective. But if it's a gift to their child, then the child may want to protect it by a prenuptial agreement.
Now, they may even have a responsibility, because the thing is, if a parent's giving to their child and their child loan, and they may well love the son-in-law or the daughter-in-law, but they may think, well, if they ever break up, I don't want them to get half the money. So maybe it's worth taking that responsibility as well up front, right?
Absolutely.
And going, okay, well, let's look into this.
And we see this a lot, but we see it from the other perspective. So we see it at the end of the relationship, when it's all very great. Was it a gift? Was it a loan?
Mm.
One person wants it to be a gift. One person wants it to be a loan. And it hasn't been protected. So if you're thinking about these issues at the start, you have an intention. There's no grey area then, is it?
Right, of course. Yeah, get it out in the open.
Get it out in the open and talk about it.
Okay.
And get it. Then, you know, then you don't have to involve people like me at the end fighting about, was it a gift or a loan?
But if we do need to involve people like you, Pauline, how do we do it?
You can get in touch with me by phone on Milton Keynes 693000 or drop me an email, pauline@purcellsolicitors.co.uk.
As expertly done as ever. Listen, I could talk to you for hours on end. You know that. I love you, Pauline, my legal crush. Nice to see you again. We'll see you again really soon. Okay.
See you soon. Bye. This is-